You for blessing us today. Thank you for the prayer group that drove all the way down from Detroit for the safe travel, Lord. I appreciate you so much, and we are so honored that you would trust us to share your word. Thank you for using Minister Terrio this morning to be a blessing to let us know. If we put our life in your hands, it is invaluable. So, Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, experiencing God's love, part three. God's love for the community. Everybody say God's love, for the community. It's important that I love my community. I love it. I love my community. And it's important for us to understand who is our community, right? So often we think our community is our people next door, but I here to tell you, your community is all of those people that God has placed his spirit within. And I want to say that's all of us. Everybody say all of us. Now, I know some of you all are saved and sanctified and you Holy Ghost filled and you fire baptized and you don't believe everybody got what you got. But I want you to know God resides in all of us, right? Just because I don't act like it doesn't mean he's not in me. Right? Because you need to be honest with yourself and realize sometimes you don't act like it, but you know he's in you. Right? That's extremely, extremely important. So that's why we don't get to judge anybody, because everybody has a story and we don't know everybody's story. Right? But if we treat everybody like we're part of a community, it would matter. If I see you and I see God in you, then I treat you differently and realize you're part of my community. Because a lot of times I go to funerals and I go places, and if somebody died on Reynolds Street in the Hikes and an older person get up, they say, man, on Reynolds Street, we was like a family on Reynolds Street. The person next door and the person down the street, and we would play in the streets, and they would talk about their community and how tight their community is. But just imagine if we talked about the community of God the same way and looked at it the same way. And God really wants us to see it that way. He did not create mankind in his image. Now, I know you guys got a lot of scripture that you can deal with, but I want you to think about this here. When God created the world, he said in scripture, right, according to the writers, that God breathed his breath in the humanity, right? That's all of us. Everybody say all of us. Now, some of us were not in existence yet, but yet we were in the mind of God. All right. And so we have to understand that, because the world can be a better place if we really understand who we are and whose we are. Amen. And understand we're part of a greater community, and the greater community really cares. Community is an organization that works together, come together, put their resources together, and make sure no one in the community is in lack. Just imagine, Derek, if the whole world could operate the way God wanted the world to operate. Nobody would ever be in lack. But so often, man, you have people they think is theirs because they have a nice job, they have a nice car, or they've been fortunate, like some, to be blessed in a family where your parents had a nice job, a nice home, and you thought you were better than someone else because you thought you was important, right? Didn't realize that God had blessed your family because they didn't have nothing, but God worked them through the system, and when they didn't have nothing, they end up with something. Right? And then some people thought they had so much, God took it away. Right? Only to give it back to them, and when they repented. Right? So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to go across real fast today, because I want to bless, because the prayer group has something to do, and they got to drive back to Detroit. Right? So, but I want to, this message today is a very, very powerful message, and I want you guys to understand something. You know, and I've really been on this. It's important for us to understand that God resides in us. You got to get that if you don't get nothing else. If you don't understand that God resides in you and in the mind of man, you're going to always think, man, in order for you to get something or be something, you got to go outside, right? And you need somebody else to do something for you in order to get. And then you have a tendency to want to blame somebody when you don't get what you want or things don't work out your way. You always want to find somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's never your fault. But I want to tell you, it's always you. It's never anybody else, right? You have to do an introspection in your life. Because God resides in all of us, and he's laying there. And the resurrection is when we come alive and realize that God is in us, and then we're resurrected, and then we realize we're new creatures, and then we start to move different. A lot of us have that testimony now. I'm not what I used to be. When I believe Jesus came into my life, he changed my life. I want to say it again. When I believed, right? He was always there, but when I turned the switch on, and then I recognized in my mind who he was and what he meant to me, it changed the way I walk, and it changed the way I talk, and it changed the way I behave. He was always there because he promised that I'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm always there, but sometimes, you know, you're in the dark and you're dormant, right? So understand that. Now, this is important. So in Matthew, this story is a very important story that I want you guys to get, right? And this is good, Cynthia. So you can take this back on your first preview service. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 9 is a very, very powerful, powerful verse, right? So I'm going to give you a little different spin on it, right? Here's what he says, the New Living Translation. Jesus was traveling through all the towns. Everybody say all the towns. And villages. Everybody say in villages. Of that area. Now watch what he was doing. He was teaching. This is Jesus. He was a human being teaching with God working through him. Now God was in the mind of Jesus as Jesus was going throughout the different towns teaching and preaching, right? So watch this here. Teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news. Everybody say the good news. So Jesus was announcing the good news because a lot of people, like some of us, didn't realize that who we were and the kingdom was inside of us. So they were moving around not knowing who they were. So Jesus was going from city to city preaching about the good news. That God wants to redeem mankind back to him, and God wants you to understand who you are. Remember, Jesus was an example for all of us, right? Then he says this. He says, the good news about what? Everybody said the kingdom. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is God's governing influence. So Jesus went from city to city, town to town, telling everybody about God's governance power in your life. You don't realize who you are. Now, listen. If the power is in you and you recognize it, nobody can stop you. Whatever you want is for you. Nobody can stop your blessing once you realize it. So Jesus was trying to tell everybody from city to city, do you understand who you are? Quit living beneath your privilege. Quit operating in poverty when you're rich. Do you know who your daddy is? So he just telling them all the time. You need to understand who you are, whose child you are. You got to understand that. He says, and he did what? He healed every kind of disease and illness. Now, this is important to understand that. If you study the human body, right, the doctors don't really heal you. All they do is mask up. They give you, the pharmaceutical company is robbing you blind, right? Actually, what the pharmaceutical company is doing is really killing you and you don't know it. That's really happening, right? Now, all those who are the doctor and all that don't believe me, just study anatomy, right? What's happening, God put everything in your body to heal your body. So what happens is they go in the labs and they get all kind of stuff and they put it together and they say, take this. And everything they give you is only to what show you and try to cure the symptoms, right? But if you cut your arm, you get a big gash and you cut it real bad, right? And you just put a towel, and there's nobody around, no doctors, no nothing. Just stick around for a while and watch that thing close back up. And watch a scab go over it. And then watch that scab fall off. Because God put the healing already inside of you. So Jesus was going town to town, letting the people know, listen, the really healing is in you. Right? So God, now watch, he was exchanging energy. And he said, listen, you got to understand who you are because nobody can come and heal you except God. Well, where is he though? Well, hold on. Nobody can heal you but God. Now they can give you all this stuff, but the person going to heal you is going to be God. How is God going to do that? He's going to go inside the system he already put inside of you. Right? That's why they can do all kind of medical things and all that. And then all of a sudden, man, you get healed. And they say, the doctor said, I don't know how it happened. I know you don't because God put the healing already inside of you. So Jesus was going from town to town trying to tell people, man, the power that's in him. Now, here's the issue as I go. A lot of us, man, been downloaded with a lot of garbage in our life. And it's called our subconscious. So I'm living my mama's story. You know, anybody ever tell you, said, man, you look just like your mom. You sound like your mama. You talk like your mama. You sound just like your uncle. Man, I remember your granddad. Yeah, because when I was a baby, they kept pouring garbage inside of me. So I wasn't really living me. I'm really living somebody else. Right? Because before I ever got here, man, God was already running the show. And then as soon as I got here, my mama said, listen, God, get out the way. I got this now. Let me take over. So they started giving me information. Right? And they, you know, you got a kid, and they say, oh, that kid's so cute. He's so smart. He's so brilliant. That baby's just mimicking everything you tell them. They don't a bit more know what they're talking about than the man in the moon. Right? So what happens is they consume by the environment. Right? So these things, so what happens is people start pouring things on you, and you almost have to detox yourself from the world and then download the spirit. And once it come alive, it's like putting a whole new program in a computer that has a virus. That's why people who was doing stuff and they was prostituting, they was lying and stealing and gambling and hustling and doing all that. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came into their life. What it was, Jesus activated their brain and they understand who they was. And they quit gambling, quit stealing, quit lying, quit cheating, got married. Now they're great husbands, great wives, great business people, great owners. That was always inside of them, except they changed the way they think. That's why the Bible told us. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because God was inside of you. Now, so Jesus is going from town to town. He's telling people, you don't even know who you are. Please pay attention. You need to understand what's going on. You don't know who you are. You are a son of God. Listen, do you know that God resides inside of you? No, I don't understand. Because they've been telling me this. The women, the women were second class citizens, man, back then. I want you to think about this here. I know you don't understand it, but I want you to, when God created the world, and when you go to Genesis, he said, I created he, him, male and female, created he, them, and I told them to have dominion. Why all of a sudden the women are second class citizens? How did they get to be second class citizens unless somebody told them they were second class citizens or start treating them like that? And then when they came alive and realized they wasn't, they said, it's a feminist movement. No, they just said, I'm tired of y'all making me less than what I am. You're not better than me. Who? Why do you think you're better than me? Who are you? Oh, because I'm a man. No, come on. God created us. We might have different assignments, but don't make me less than you. Because the truth be told, you came from me. I didn't come from you. But you tell them that, they're going to get mad at you. All right, let's keep moving right on. Now, so what was the good news? What was the good news? What was it was that here's the Jesus, here's the good news. He's going around telling the good. He said, here's the good news. The good news is that you need to recognize who you are. So Jesus is going around and said, the power of God is in you. Quit letting people control you and tell you what you can't be and what you're not and recognize who you are. He said, now listen. So in Corinthians chapter 2, I mean 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the part B, it says, I will live where? In them. I didn't say that. The word said it. He said, I will live in them. Who are you talking about? God is talking about I live in them. So if God said I live in them, who are you to say he's not? You don't get to tell me he's not. Don't treat me like he's not, right? But you do. He said, and walk among them, and I will be their what? I will live in them, and I'm going to be their God, and they will be my what? People. Or nobody's exempt from it. I know you people been telling you so-and-so, but I'm just telling you, God said, don't you listen to them. Know who you are. And realize that he's operating inside of you. So then he goes to Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 21. Says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Because we're talking about the kingdom. This is Jesus going around teaching the kingdom. Behold, watch what he says. Now, this is important. The kingdom of God is where? He said, it's where? The kingdom, man, the kingdom is in me. But it's out there somewhere. No, it's in you and among you. I want you to know where the power of God resides. Once I realized that God was in me, it didn't matter what nobody else said. Now it's a whole lot of people. That boy ain't going to be nothing. He's not going to mount to nothing. The boy's going to end up in jail. I should call my principal out of his grave and ask him, why did you tell my mama? Because you told my mama he's gonna end up dead or in jail. He's dead. I never went to jail, and I became the principal. Well, you You don't get, because once I realized it, it changed my game. You know, I thought I was illiterate until I realized I wasn't. When he turned the light on, man, I got all A's and B's. I graduated from college on the dean's list. Right? God changed. Listen, I ain't going to tell you how he gave me Ardina. Right? So he knew I was lacking in a little area. He said, you slipping over here, so let me give you somebody to help you out. Because where you weak, he's strong. He said, I got you. All right? That's another story, all right? I'm just trying to get a kiss when I get home. Now, here's the point. God has always been inside a man. Always. Listen, he's always been there, right? But sometimes he's dormant because people have been telling you he's not. Right? And the people that realize he is move ahead while you sitting there shouting, right, with nothing in poverty. You rich in faith and poor in everything else. Right? When he told us that the kingdom should be here, he said, Jesus said, pray that thy kingdom will come and your will be done. Right? Now, that's important. Now, so he goes on down in Matthew chapter 9, and here's what he says in verse 36. This is important, Tiffany. Right? He says, when he saw the crowd, right, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said, I went from city to city, town to town, and I'm looking at people, and it was like the valley of dry bones. I had all these people, and I was one of them, all these people moving around, did not know who God really was, even though I was going to church. I didn't realize who he was in me, and so people were moving around, and they was walking around, they was lost, because they didn't know who God was, and we weren't living like God was living inside of us. We weren't moving like that, and Jesus said, y'all don't even know who you are, you're walking around like sheep lost. Don't know what's going on. He said, you look, you don't have a shepherd. Now, anybody know anything about sheep? Man, sheep are dumb animals, right? I ain't saying Jesus was calling you dumb, but they like dumb animals, right? A sheep, if you bring him by running water, he'll drown himself. Or you put him around where he can eat, he'll eat, throw up, keep eating till he kill himself. So he has to have a shepherd to guide him, right? He said, listen. He said they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were just going, literally killing themselves. Now, listen, this is a guy named Dr. Bobby Price. Put it in your phone. He's a young black doctor I was going out there, and he said, man, you eating to die. Right? And what's happening is, he said, and we're going around, and these people are selling us stuff, feeding us stuff that's killing us, things that's destroying us because we don't have a knowledge. Well, the Bible says that you perish because of the lack of what? Knowledge. Now, guys, all this stuff is inside of you, and you messing up you jamming up the system. It's just like putting water in the oil pan. He said, you're doing different stuff, man, because you're confused. You don't know any better, because everybody told you that hog maws and chitlins was good. And it's plugging up your arteries. And you wonder why you eat, and then you're so sleepy. It's because some things you eat to die. You're not eating to live. All right, now. This is real talk. If you don't believe me, just do the research, right? So what's happening is, that was going on. So all these people moved around like zombies. Some of them in the synagogue, remember he went to the synagogue, right? So they're in church, but they don't really know who God is, like Paul. When Paul was going around persecuting people, he didn't really know who God was for real. He thought he knew. But when God turned the light on, it changed his world. Everybody said, change his world, right? Now, here's what Jesus said in chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He said, I understand. I'm willing to sacrifice everything because some people don't want to see you do good. They don't want to see you healthy, right? They don't want to see you blessed financially. They don't want you to be prosperous. They don't want your kid. You bragging about, my kid got a scholarship. And they're hoping that the application don't come back right. You know, they smiling at you. Some people just don't care. Right? And Jesus said, these people are so confused and they're messing around. And then he says this. Let me get back to Matthew, right? Because I gotta cut across the field real fast, right? Right now, he said to his disciples, he says, the harvest is great. He said, the people out there, and they, watch this, is great, it's ripe. They really love me, but they just don't know. He said, the harvest is great. He said, but the workers are few. There are very few people really know who they are. And it's very few people, man, really understand the power of God working in their life, right? And he says, so the harvest is that they're there, but the problem is, what? We don't have enough workers to get to all of them. Because God is in them, but they don't know. They've been miseducated. I remember Carter G. Wilson wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. How many people read that book? Right? Read the book. It's a good book, right? Right? And he talks about how people are miseducated, right? How people deliberately miseducate people. And they give you false information because you read it in a book, you thought it was true. Right? And it was literally killing you. Right? Literally killing you, right? So then he says this in verse 38. So I want you to pray to the Lord. Now this is Jesus talking. Everybody said Jesus talking. So he can't be talking to himself. Right? Because Jesus is teaching. Right? He just said, pray to me. He said, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. He said, you got to go to God for this one. Because only God can do. I'm going to tell you and I'm going to show you how God worked in my life. And my life is going to be the example for you. He said, but listen to me. He said, the harvest is great, but we don't have enough people to go out there. You need to go to God and ask God what to do and how can I do and how can I change this community and how can I get people, man, to really change their life and be everything God intended for them to be. So he said, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers in the field. Why? Because we don't have enough people to really know who God really is in their life. And people moving around and they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe Jesus in them. Right? And so they don't meet, and Jesus is the power. Jesus really is the mind of God, right? And the power of God working in their life, right? And so that's important. So Jesus, when John was writing in 3 John, he says, but beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. You may as prosper, but no, not just that, be as your health. Everybody say your health. He said, and your soul. That's important. He said, now we're talking about your inner man. Because it's the inner man that controls all. I was telling Derek today, and me and Derek were talking in my office, and I was sharing some things. I said, Derek, he said, man, Pastor, you let stuff bother you? I said, I really don't, Derek. I said, I really realize, man, that since I've been doing my meditation deep, man, I said, what people say don't bother me no more, right? Because I realize I don't give them the power over my life. Because I realize who I am. Right, that's why they couldn't bother Jesus. They couldn't mess with him because he knew who he was, and he realized that God is in, and greater is he that's in. That he now he's in all of us except you don't know it. You won't acknowledge it. Right, and because you won't acknowledge, you keep on walking around like sheep without a shepherd. You're walking around here and somebody says something wrong and you mad and leave the church. Because somebody had an opinion. But because you don't know the God in you, you let what they say about you affect you. So now they controlling you and they not right. So why am I allowing somebody who's not right? I know they not right and what they said about me is not right. Why am I letting them run me away from God? But I hear people say, I ain't leaving the church. I ain't leaving God. I'm just leaving the church. No, you're leaving God. If the church was your vehicle that get you to God, and you say, what are you leaving? Something's going on inside of you that you allow somebody else, man, to be greater than the God that's in you. So now this thing that's great, this thing now this brother right here got more power than God got. I get mad. I ain't never coming back there no more. I bet God said, wake up. I just want to slap you upside the head. Just wake up. Right? Now, here's what Jesus said in John 10. The thief come not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Then he said this, I come that they might have what? And that what? He said, I come that once they realize who they are, Cynthia. Once they realize who they are in God, my life becomes abundant. Nothing can stop me now. My life becomes a success, right? And I'm moving, and I'm moving. Here's how I know God is working in me. Because now I love you, right? And I see the God in you, and I can tell by the way I move. Because now the way I move, if you know how some people, they say, why she got that on? She shouldn't be wearing that fake weave, and she thinks she cute. You need to be delivered. Right? Because the power of God, because God don't move like that. God don't move. God don't talk about himself. A person that look in the mirror and say, look, you so ugly with them ugly glasses you got on. What, you cut your hair for? You bald headed? You on your way to the mercy. Because something wrong with you. Right? That's a mental issue, right? But when I know, and I look in the mirror, I'll tell him, I wasn't this morning. I said, girl, you know you look good when you left the house this morning. You know you look good. She said, no, I didn't. I said, she did. Right? You look in the mirror, like when Cynthia came to church, she got out, she put on that pink green. She's at my 8K. Hey, and then she put on a pink, and she put on the shoe, and she had a hat. She looked in the mirror, it was a little blue, and she said, oh, I should have had some green. But then she knew she looked good when she left the house. Right? That's how you got to move, man, when I know God is in me. You know? That's why I said, no weapon ever formed against me will prosper. Listen, how can you say no weapon formed against you will prosper? Soon as somebody says something to you on your job, you want to fight. You worry about what they're saying about you. You no weapon formed against me. It already prospered. You mad? You in the lunchroom on the break want to fight somebody. You mad because somebody said something about you. Right? But when God is operating inside of you and you're moving, I can see the demon. You are of your father, the devil, because you not even recognize the God in you. I wouldn't care if you say you saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fight. You can see anything you want. I can just watch your life and watch your action, watch your language. And I can tell what's really inside of you. So that thing that's coming inside of you, it's still in your joy. It's still in your power. Because you're powerless. You don't have any strength. You have no strength. I don't care who. You can tell a lie all you want. I'm in my secret closet. I'm praying. I spend the time in prayer. How in the world can you say that as soon as you go in the community or you go to work or you with your husband and you cussing him out and you're fussing at the kids? You call the kids looking at you, Mama, I thought you were saved. But they're my kids. I don't care. Maybe one day I'm going to have my son, AJ, I'm going to get him to come up front and really tell y'all the truth. I didn't know I'm lying. AJ done some crazy things to me, right? But I promise you, man, AJ will tell you I don't change for him. I don't care what he do, right? The God in me is greater than the foolishness he do. So I just love him through the process. What I try to do is love the hell out of him, right? Because I want him to know the God in me is greater than the fool in you. Right? And I don't care what you do to me, you can't break the bank. Ain't nothing, you can't break the bank. I don't care what you do, you can't embezzle enough money for me to get me broke. You just can't do it because greater heat is in me. The heat is in the world. Right? So we got to know that. Now listen, I'm about to wrap this thing up. I'm promising you, I was going to 12:30 whether you like it or not. Here we go. 1 Peter 2:9, real quick. But ye are a chosen generation. You got to know. So but Jesus was telling them, he says, listen, now when you read Luke 10, he says, he got 72 more disciples to send them out because he needed these people, man, to know who God really was in their life. So he deputized 72 more people that wasn't the 12 disciples to go out and tell them. That's in chapter 10. Matthew 9 don't say that, right? But Luke tells you that in chapter 10. That God was so concerned, he wanted the people to know who he is, and he deputized 72 more men and said, go out and preach the kingdom to them. Get them to know who they are. He says, once you get them to know, then they're going to tell everybody else how good he is, right? So now, I want you to know who you are. You need to know who you are. Not what your mama said, not what your daddy said, but what God said about you. Right? And I want you to understand that you are a chosen generation. He said, you are a royal priesthood. Right? You represent God to the highest. I'm on a royal court. Right? My dad is the king. Right? A holy nation, a peculiar people. Right? Watch this. That should show forth the praises of him who has called you where? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right? He woke me up and turned on my system. He flipped the switch in my life. It happened on the inside. That's what the old folks say. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Brother. Woo! Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Everybody said, won't he do it? You got to know who you are. Right? You got to know. So if you can flip your marriage right away. Immediately you can flip your marriage, right? All you got to do is forget your mate. Realize who you are in God. The greater heat is in you. If I flip the switch and show what's going on in my life and the God, and I start walking in God, you got to come along. Because that spirit is not greater than the spirit that's in me. Now, if you acting a fool, I better do a check. Because I might be acting a fool too. Right? But if I'm doing right, if I change it, and I tell Ardina, I tell her this, she can't outlove me. I don't care what she do, she can't outlove me. Right? I tell her, she can't. I was doing some crazy. Listen, I would make her mad and all that kind of stuff. And I just meditate and say, I'm not doing it no more. I'm not going to upset her. And sometimes it still happens. I just look at her and shake my head. I'd be so mad. Because I know what I'd be trying to do, right? And I'm like, And I'm so sure of what's going on in my, I promise you, I'm so sure in my life, man. I said, Ardina, you got to get it together, honey. Am I telling the truth? I promise. Now, I'm not saying she don't have it together, but that's how confident I am in my walk with God. Because I'm not going to do nothing to hurt her. Nothing in my life to hurt her. Not deliberate, never in 38 years, I'm not going to do nothing to hurt her. I'm not going to do it, right? Now, I ain't going to say I've done some things. Praise the Lord. I'm still alive because she always says she's going to kill me if I do anything. But the God in you, everybody say the God in you. If you activate the God in you, if you turn that switch, listen, man, God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. But he has antennas that's connected directly to you. You got direct access. That's why Jesus said the power that I have, you have. I know, see, y'all, with the problem with you all, you don't believe it. So when somebody say that to you, I ain't like Jesus. I am. Because he said it. He said, the work that I do, you'll be able to do even greater. Well, you shouldn't have said it, Jesus, if you didn't mean it. So I believe it. The reason why he told us that is because one day you're going to realize that God resides in you. And when you operate with God in you, and you feel it. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. When you come to church and you know you're feeling good and you've been doing right, you just got power. You just walk past like Paul. They put people on the aisle and they walk past and the Holy Spirit would heal them. Right? Or Jesus walking through the crowd and the woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Some of you all are so powerful, man. Somebody says, if Cynthia just called me, she don't have to pray for it. I just call and then they feel good. When you got that kind of power in your life, that because we ain't nothing but energy. Just study quantum physics. We ain't nothing but energy. I can move. I can change the atmosphere of the whole room. Because God is so magnetic, I can change the atmosphere. Right? By coming in the room. I can change you. You can be mad as you want. Hang around me for a while. I have you laughing. I can change you. I got that much power in me. Right? You got the same power in you. I don't have nothing that you don't have. You just got to hit the switch and realize who you are in God. And now, as they went about, and I'm closing, as they went about throughout the community, they was teaching them about the power of God inside of them. I want you to hear me well. I know you don't understand, but I want you to hear me, especially young folks. Once you change the way you think, you're going to change your life. As long as you got stinking thinking, your life is going to be stinking. Soon as you change the way you think, every So is the man thing. Everything in your life changed. I know you guys waiting on something to happen out here, but it's going to happen inside of you. Everything always happens inside. How many people ever been in love? Honestly, you ain't got to tell me who you was in love with, right? Now, put your hand down, and I'm wrapping this thing up. All right, I'm done. How many people was in love, and then you fell out of love? Right. Now, listen. Didn't nothing happen out there. It ain't nothing really they did. It seemed like it's something they did, but what really happened is you got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And once you got sick and tired of being sick and tired, you changed it. Because he was doing the same stupid stuff, or she's doing the same stupid stuff. Your friend was telling you they were stupid. Your mom was telling you stupid, and you stayed with them. After a while, when you decided enough was enough, God didn't say no thing. He said he worked. He turned the switch on inside of you. And once he flipped that switch, it was over. You became a new creature. Old things that passed away, and then you walk around and you say, baby, this is a new thing. Right? I'm a new thing. Right. Now, all right, everybody stands on your feet. I'm about to go home. We gotta go. It's 12:30. Gotta go. I know y'all want me to keep going, but I ain't going. Now, Teresa, you ain't getting me in trouble. All right, here we go. Here's some next steps I really want you guys to see. I want you to seek the Lord's guidance on what he is doing in the community and how you can help. When I say community, if we tighten our community up and just say in the inner circle that we have, the people that surround us, change around you. Everybody say around me. Forget what's going on in Detroit. I got to figure out what's going on here in Muskegon right now, right? And I got to do right here. I can't get online. You know, you can't get online praying online, and then as soon as you get online, you fussing and arguing with your kids, right? See what I'm saying? But that community, let the community, charity starts where? At home. I say home is inside of you. I say home is inside of you. And then it spreads. Then it spreads to your husband, your kids, your aunt, your cousin, your mama. But charity starts at home, then it spreads abroad. Strive for excellence in school kids or at work. Pray for a culture that will obey God's. All right? I didn't mean put God's. Obey God. All right? Last one. Serve in your school, your place of work, or community. What do you mean by serve? Let people know that God lives in you by the way you serve and love. Amen? Amen. I want to give you guys the opportunity, if you don't know who Christ is in your life, and you want him in your life, and you want him to be a part of your life, I want to give you the opportunity, and I also want to open up the doors of the church and give you an opportunity, if you want to be a part of our kingdom family, to join our kingdom family. We're having our new members class next week, right? Now, you don't have to come forward because you're nervous and scared in front of all these people, all right? Fill out a card and say, I want to be a part of the new members class. Get that card to me next week, and we can talk in private. Amen? I hate putting people on the spot. What I was going to say, when I said, if I ever become a pastor, I'm never going to do people like that. Everybody said, come down front. And you sitting there shaking in your boots, scared, looking at all the folks. You can be saved right where you are. You can accept God in your life right where you are. Right? God know your heart. Just you coming out here showing us don't mean nothing. God know your heart. Man judge your outward appearance. All right? So I want to offer God to you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to give everyone an opportunity to accept you into their life. Those who do not know you, they need to know you. They need to know that you're real. And Lord, just like the disciples, we're going and we know the harvest is great. And thank you for blessing us to be able to share with them who you are in their life. And if they accept you in their life and they start moving in that direction, then life will change. Lord, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Rededicate every person who wants to be rededicated. Give them the joy that surpasses all understanding. Give them that abundant life, a life of love. It's not about material things. It's about an abundant relationship with you. Lord, we just thank you so much. And Lord, as we leave this place, we never want to leave your presence because we know you're not leaving us. Let us realize that you're with us. If we go to work, you're there. If we go on vacation, you're there. If we go to our neighbor's house, you're there. When we're riding in the car, you're there. We're at the grocery store, you're there. Let us be aware of your presence all the time in every decision we make, every person we encounter. Let us reflect you in our community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altar is open for those who like prayer. Consider yourself dismissed. But if you want prayer, we're up here for prayer.